Today is Sunday, July 31st, 2022, and this...
Never gamble it again for as long as I live.
Want a bet?
$1,000.
Is 5 Hundy by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 840.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah! Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 5 Hundy by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today.
Okay.
You looking forward to it?
Sure.
Turning you up a little bit.
Ah.
All right. Before we jump into a hodgepodge of updates and whatnot, let's thank our patrons.
Okay.
They support this show every week. They're wonderful people. We like them. Some of our longtime patrons include Lena, Brendan Niedermeyer, Drambuie Man, Dave and Tony Kampsler, Shannon Singer, and Nikki Jehoda. Thank you all very much. We appreciate you sticking with us for so long. If you'd like to become a Patreon patron, support this podcast, get some bonus stuff as our way of saying thank you, visit patreon.com/5hundy for all the details. All right, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of updates from things we've discussed previously. Did you hear that it rained in Las Vegas?
Yes.
I did too. Kind of hard to avoid. When there's weather there, people kind of go nuts.
This seemed worse than usual, though. I mean,
the level of the weather, or the
like the pouring into casinos part.
Yeah.
I mean, yes,
it happens though.
The Link parking garage. That's going to happen every time.
It's supposed to. It's built to do that.
But yeah, like.
Water
the circus
coming.
Sportsbook flooding, that was
nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we usually don't talk about weather, but it was an exceptional weather event.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of video of ceilings leaking and
yeah.
All kinds of shit. So that'll happen. It's monsoon season. Just a little bit rougher than usual, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, if you've never been to Las Vegas during monsoon season... It's short and powerful, like the storms are short and powerful and then done. It's something to behold. All right, let's not talk about weather anymore because I don't like to.
Okay.
Let's move on to more exciting things. Everybody's been wondering what is going to happen as Cosmopolitan transitions to an MGM Rewards property. And so far, it has been quite minimal. There is, however, one... thing that has begun to happen, and that is the ability to charge like food and beverage to rooms at a couple MGM properties. They're doing a slow rollout. So as of right now, if you are staying at Cosmopolitan, you can charge to your room from restaurants and bars at Aria and Bellagio, and vice versa. If you're staying at Aria and Bellagio, you can charge Cosmo stuff to your room there. So they're going to be rolling this out over time to all of the MGM properties, but they're doing it slowly, which I guess they want to make sure it works. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's good. If you, there's an advantage to this, depending on where you're staying, you can earn loyalty points at the hotel where you are staying for meals at the other place,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, right now Identity is separate from MGM Rewards. So... if you're looking at, for whatever reason, it's kind of a weird time to know what to do with Cosmo points. Like, is it worth trying to keep my...
maybe if you're level? Close to another level.
Right. So if you're staying at Cosmo and you know, want to use points, if you want to earn points based on your meals from those other places, you can by charging them to your room. Or if you're trying to get some MGM status or prefer to play at MGM properties... you can get MGM points if you're staying at Aria and Bellagio and eat at one of the fine restaurants at Cosmo. So anyway, this will be expanding over the next couple months, but it's good that they're starting to roll some stuff out. Mm-hmm. Still no details yet on when they'll be doing a full merger of the slot programs, the loyalty programs, but I'm sure we will be talking about that as it becomes more clear. The other transition everybody is watching is Mirage Hard Rock, and we're beginning to see some signs of how this is going to play out. At least there are some things that you can kind of maybe figure out from some recent developments. So there was one brief mention this week that has received no attention, but because I like to comb through documents that are extremely boring looking mm-hmm. for tidbits, I did find this in the quarterly financial report for Vici, which is the real estate company that owns the land where the Mirage is located. There was a note that clarified a little bit more when the closing of the sale is expected to occur. So up to this point, everything has been second half of 2002. That's been the official 2022. That's been the official party line. Thank you. Real-time fact check. I appreciate that. So everything has been second half, which we are currently in as mm-hmm. of July 1. In the quarterly financial update from Vici, that has changed to fourth quarter. So now we're looking at October, November, December time frame. And since they're involved in some way because mm-hmm. they own the land, it is probably very reliable. So if you're wondering when the sale is going to happen, right now it looks like fourth quarter is going to be when it closes, and then we'll see what happens after that. Oh, as you know, if you've been listening to this show, we've been having a lot of callers making their pilgrimage, their farewell to the mm-hmm. Mirage. And what I'm predicting now is that late next fall, we'll be getting people, I'm making my third...
final pilgrimage.
My third farewell
trip. It's like
trip
the KISS farewell tour.
Yeah. Because it doesn't look like it's going to close quickly, if at all.
I mean, I don't blame people for wanting to go
sure.
just in case.
Yep. Absolutely. But
or maybe, you know, the timing works out for them now and it won't later, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I just think it'll be funny if we have people, I encourage it.
Yes.
I encourage it. If you make multiple farewell trips to the Mirage, please keep track and let us know how many mm-hmm. you've made as you're going. But anyway, we discussed recently that magician Shin Lim has had his contract at the Mirage extended through 2023, and now a very similar thing, Cirque du Soleil mentioned in a USA Today article that they have been extended through 2023. So it's unlikely that things are going to be closing anytime soon. Now, whether they stay open throughout the entire year or if it's just part of the year, we don't know, but right now it looks like most of 2023, the Mirage will still be open. Hard Rock has the rights to continue using the Mirage brand for up to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The other development that clarifies things a little bit is at least what the plans are. In a recent press release unrelated to Las Vegas at all, Hard Rock International noted that the Las Vegas location would be opening in 2025. So we're starting to get a time frame. Sales going to close the fourth quarter. 2023 is going to be semi-business as usual. At least it looks like it's probably likely to remain the Mirage and stay open. They'll probably begin construction, that sort of thing. 2024 is a mystery right now. Will they shut down? Don't know. But sometime in 2025, then, it will complete the transition and become the Hard Rock. So there we go. That's what we know right now. And as I said, please call us with your third, fourth, fifth farewell trip updates. All right. Another thing that we're keeping a close eye on, of course, is Fontainebleau. And with each passing day, I become more confident that this is happening.
Yeah.
It just seems that way. They're working fast. They're doing a lot. It looks shiny. It's looking better. They've been doing a ton of work on the pool levels. And as we mentioned a few weeks ago, one of the restaurant names became evident from a permit filing that they did. And now there's another. And again, these are just little tidbits of detail. We take what we can get. But according to another permit filing, there's going to be a mezcal bar at Fontainebleau. So that is another thing that is part of the plans. So yeah, they're plowing ahead, and I'm coming around on the idea it's going to actually open this time.
The thing I'm most curious about is, what are they going to do with the top floor? Are they going to have like a really cool bar up there? Or are they going to reserve that for swanky people?
I'll have to look. It's been so long. I know they're trying to complete essentially what was the original plan, or a very close version of it with some changes, a few changes. But I'll have to look and see what the look back at what they had planned for the top floor. I believe it was some sort of a food and beverage thing. I can't remember if it was going to be a nightclubby thing or if it was going to be more of a lounge. I don't know. So
it's not going to be like a penthouse, though. It's going to be something.
I think they were planning on putting a bar up there of some sort. I don't know if there's a restaurant involved or not, but I will see what I can find on that and report back.
Thank you.
So there you go. That's this week's Fontainebleau update. Something else we've been keeping an eye on is the development.
Will you report back to me, or will you report back on the show?
I'll for sure report back to you, and if you remind me to, I will report back on next week's show.
Okay.
All right. Something else that we've been keeping an eye on are the details regarding the new Formula One road race that has been announced for Las Vegas beginning in 2023. I think they have something like a 5-year deal or something. It's multiple years that this will be happening. And previously they were just saying it would be in November. We do have more details now thanks to Sports Business Journal, which reports the Las Vegas Grand Prix will be held on November 16th through the 18th, 2023. And then following years, it will be the same week, the weekend before Thanksgiving.
So if you liked to go that week before Thanksgiving because it was calm and peaceful nice.
I'm very sorry. We used to go that week a lot.
Yeah, it was fun because it was quiet.
A nice lull.
It would pick up Wednesday night.
Yeah.
But
the week leading up was a delight.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be a fuck mess.
Yeah, and we're never going to go because...
Probably not.
Yeah. Thanks, Formula One.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for ruining our fun.
Mm-hmm. So, I can see, because it's a slow week, I could see why they would...
That's exactly it. Now, we've...
Try and draw people there.
There's been a few times where we've talked about how this is not... The effects of this race are going to go well beyond the actual weekend when it's taking place.
Oh, yeah.
It'll take weeks and weeks to get everything set up.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of disruption before and after.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, November's going to be a mess, and then they'll get it down just in time for the rodeo crowd to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how things are looking.
Yeah.
I admire the city, I admire their ability to pinpoint periods of time where there's not much going on and going, okay, we need to find
bring
a big event
to
make it an annual thing. They've done it with the rodeo. They've done it with some other things. And there are a lot of months now where there used to be lulls that they've kind of filled up with different things. This is the latest one. So, and they're Formula One's making a big deal of this. They obviously bought a chunk of land. They're planning on putting up some sort of an attraction. There are a few other details that were mentioned in this Sports Business Journal article that are part of the agreement between the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority and the Formula One people that I found that were somewhat interesting. One thing is the track. During the race weekend, it'll be in use pretty late. So, again, if you're not into the Formula One thing, you probably don't want to be in town then because it's going to be loud on the strip.
Yep.
1:30 a.m. is the latest that they're going to use the track. So that'll be happening. Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority is required under this agreement to work with stakeholders like the area casinos to avoid guerrilla marketing. This is going to be a highly televised, highly publicized event.
Yeah.
They want to have a lot of control over the marketing and what...
Yep. Who gets the money, whose eyeballs are on the ads.
Paid advertising. Yep. Now, there are some allowances. Obviously, they're not going to cover up the Caesars marquee. Things that are there naturally, fine.
But you can't use your Aria screen, for example, to...
I think they're going to... limit what you can what you can promote to, mm-hmm. to things that are actually at your property and things you're not going to suddenly be able to have, unless it's agreed upon with all the parties. You're not going to have a Pabst Blue Ribbon ad up there or something.
Or NASCAR.
But I think they're all, I think they're concerned with like, people that aren't affiliated with the hotels from getting their brand publicized on screen in whatever method they would choose to use.
Yep.
So they're going to be working on plans to avoid those sorts of things around, not only on the Strip, but throughout the whole course. And then as far as safety issues, some of the things that they are planning for, roughly 1,200 fire extinguishers, 900 Marshall volunteers, 15 cranes. If you're in the crane business, that's going to be a great time to be alive. 18 tow trucks, 18 ambulances, and 5 medical intervention vehicles will all be present. So plenty of safety and security plans. Obviously, Formula One's done this for a long time, so they know what they need in terms of keeping the crowd and their the people participating in the race safe. Again, you've got plenty of advance notice. This begins in 2023. So if you're used to going in November, adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's not starting immediately this year.
Yeah.
We've got some lead time, so people who are used to having their annual trip that week can find a new time to go, because they're not going to be happy if they go during this time.
Unless they're really into Formula One.
Unless they're into it. So there you go. All right. Another update from the previous couple weeks, Hawaiian Marketplace and surrounding properties. The real estate developer that owns that land, that was the shanty town before the shanty town existed.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiian Marketplace is the OG of shitty
retail clusters.
Yeah, and that's saying a lot, because there's a lot of, like, I shouldn't say that, because there are, like, the strip mall next to it that is kind of part of this deal is obviously crappier, but they didn't try to make that a thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just, here it is. It's a crappy strip mall. It's what you expect. Hawaiian Marketplace, they tried to make it into a thing like Grand Bazaar Shops.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly less shitty, and we're going to give it a name. Anyway, it's going away. It's actually gone, but I mean, it's physically going away in that the land developer has filed for demolition of Hawaiian Marketplace, the mall immediately to the south, and the buildings behind Walgreens, but not including Walgreens.
Which Walgreens is this?
The Walgreens, like, just between Hawaiian Marketplace and Showcase Mall. So they're planning a new retail. Because
there are many Walgreens on the strip.
I know. It's a whole stretch of land, though. So you got the chunk of land where Hawaiian Marketplace is, which is right in front of the Polo Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And then right next to that, to the south, crappy strip mall. Right next to that is Walgreens, and behind Walgreens, there's that theater we talked about a couple weeks ago, and I think there's one other building. So all that stuff's going to be coming down. What this new retail and entertainment development consists of, we do not yet know. They haven't announced much other than that they're going to be doing something. I'm guessing, like I said before, it'll be a slightly less shitty retail development, but time will tell. I have a feeling it's going to be more kind of like another Showcase, like an extension of the Showcase Mall, which is pretty crappy too, but I don't know. We'll see. It'd be nice if they did something interesting.
But they won't, but it would be nice.
Yeah. All right. Let's do
it. I'm not as excited about retail as I used to be. Remember?
Oh, you know what? It's really funny. I just, for one of the things that we do for Patreon is I pull a flashback clip almost every Friday. This week, usually it's just a few minutes, but the last couple weeks I've found longer clips that are, I find them interesting for the historical value.
Uh-huh.
And I found one from the sort of the end of the building boom.
Okay.
When projects like Fontainebleau collapsed and things like that. But anyway, we did a roundup of projects that were in the works, things that were coming, because there were so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Still, Cosmo was in the works, and I don't know. There's a whole list of them. I think Palazzo, maybe. I don't know. But went through all, went through all of those. And there was some mention of retail, and yes, it was funny to hear you. Oh, I hope you're very hopeful for the retail aspect of it.
Huh.
And I think you were hoping that at some point there would be an outlet mall opened on or closer to the strip.
Oh, yeah. That tracks. Now I'm like,
You're not into it as much.
No, I'm not. Shopping used to be like...
Things change.
Yeah, that used to be a big part of my trips.
No, almost not a... Maybe, gift shop. That's about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right, let's do a quick rumor watch.
Rumor watch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
Late last year, you may remember if you've been listening to the show for that long or longer, there was a project that I discussed based, again, on filings with the county at the Mirage, and it was called the Pinky Ring. It was going to be a bar at the Mirage, and then after a brief period of time, that project was pulled. They decided, we're not going to build this, and what I found out since is that was supposed to be, you may remember, Rum Bar closed
yep.
for renovations. That was going to become the Pinky Ring, and then they pulled that, and they ended up reopening it as Rum Bar again, which was always seemed kind of odd. I'm guessing it was because of the transition to Hard Rock. Like, as it became more and more evident they were going to be changing hands, they decided to change plans on that.
Mm-hmm.
What the Pinky Ring is becoming clearer now, thanks to a rumor in the Las Vegas Review Journal that the Pinky Ring is going to be opening at Bellagio, and it is a bar at least partially owned or branded from performer Bruno Mars. So it's a partnership between MGM and Bruno Mars, apparently. So I'm guessing once they realize, oh, we're probably going to be selling the Mirage very soon, mm-hmm. they wanted to continue this project and continue working with Bruno Mars, and that's where it landed. It might be part of his, who knows, it might be part of his performance deals,
because
he's done a solo recurring stint at an MGM property, as well as
Silk Sonic.
His Silk Sonic deal at Park Theater or Dolby Live, whatever it's called now. So not a lot of details about what the Pinky Ring will be, but that is coming soon. It's going to be, according to this report, in the space currently occupied by Lily Bar and Lounge.
When I first read that, I read the Pink Ring, and I thought that's something totally different.
That would be something completely different. Something else we like to keep our finger on the pulse of here at 500. I think we are probably more dedicated to this than anyone else ever.
Probably.
Is tracking the progress, the rise and fall of tiger-based magic in the Las Vegas Valley.
Have you ever thought about writing a book about tiger-based magic?
It would be a pamphlet, I think. I don't know that we could get a full book, and no, I haven't.
Hmm.
But we have a development this week. Every time we think it's dead, it somehow finds a way to come back to life. And it seems that tiger-based magic is not completely gone, as we have thought several times over the years. Again, a Review Journal report tells us that longtime tiger-based magician in Las Vegas, Dirk Arthur, is going to be bringing...
He was the Jubilee guy, right?
Long time ago. We saw him in Jubilee, but he's performed in many venues over the years. And apparently he's planning on a return to tiger-based magic.
And which venue?
It's Indianapolis. Specifically Notoriety Live, which is a theater that's been in Indianapolis for a couple of years now. I haven't talked a lot about it, but...
Because it's Indianapolis?
It's Indianapolis, and how great could it be? But apparently, he's planning on having a tiger-based magic show there called Dirk Arthur's Wild Magic, and it will be the only ticketed show to use exotic cats in Las Vegas and probably elsewhere. The Review Journal couldn't find any examples in the country of any show using those anymore because it's kind of no longer really, people aren't really into the whole animals for your entertainment kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a safety aspect too.
As seen by Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's when I think it all turned. Somebody gets chomped on stage and there's some concern raised, let's just say. So the club has confirmed that this is happening, but they have not yet provided an opening date or ticket details, so I'm sure we'll be discussing this again if it happens.
If. There,
you may remember, not so long ago, we discussed another attempt at bringing back tiger-based magic, and I thought, hey, whatever happened with that? Now, I know last time we talked about it, the person, Jay Owenhouse, who was planning on doing that show, had said, okay, I'm not going to use the animals in my show. That was the last thing we had heard, but he was still planning on doing a show in a tent behind Sahara, at which point I said, nobody gives a shit about your family magic show. Don't mm-hmm. even bother. So I thought, okay, maybe he heeded that warning. I'm sure he didn't hear and decided not to go ahead with it. So I checked in on the social media and website accounts of Jay Owenhouse. Turns out right now he is touring and is promoting the show as a, well, first of all, direct from Las Vegas, even though
he's never done anything.
He may have done some spot shows, okay, but he hasn't had like a running show anytime in recent mm-hmm. history. And he also calls himself the Authentic Illusionist.
Okay. As opposed to the Inauthentic Illusionist?
I guess. I guess that sets him apart. Yes, so he's promoting it as a sneak preview of our new Las Vegas show. It's running in Texas, Idaho, Wyoming, Oregon, and Montana through October. So if you're in those locations and have a burning desire to see non-tiger-based magic from a tiger-based magician and his family, I really hope that they just use one of the kids when the tigers would have appeared, mm-hmm. and they're dressed up like a tiger or mm-hmm. something. That would be awesome. It's like a weird furry thing.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Supposedly, his show is beginning in Las Vegas in October. His family-based, non-tiger-based magic show. Don't know if it's still on track for a tent in a parking lot behind Sahara. Time will tell. Mm. And again, it's not gonna. There's no way it's gonna last long if it does, just because of the venue. So I'm hoping for his sake that maybe he got a deal with the V Theater or something mm-hmm. where these things seem to last a long time. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. But we'll keep a closer eye on Dirk Arthur's potential show and the return of Tiger Base Magic. And we'll let you know all the developments because it's what we do. Exciting stuff. An update on the many changes at Bally's. The new bar down in the lower level, Cabinet of Curiosities. That's that bar that has different oddities on display. And you can like open drawers and find oddities, and I don't know. I'm curious how this thing is.
Yeah.
It's run by that exhibit company that we discussed a week or two ago that has real bodies, doing the King Tut thing. So they know what they're doing as far as exhibitions. Cabinet of Curiosities is now open, along with their speakeasy called The Lock, and that's, I guess there's to get entry, you have to solve a super easy puzzle of some sort. Okay. And then you can go in and hang out in their little speakeasy. So that's open at 4 p.m. daily. If you want details, visit thecabinetlv.com. And if you go there, we'd love to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Call our voicemail line, 702-866-9494. And let us know what you thought of it, if it's a thing or not a thing worth checking out. There is another new food and beverage option that is opening very soon. We've discussed it a while ago, but it's been in development for quite some time. It's called Toca Madera, which I believe is Spanish for touch my wood or something. I think it's supposed to be like knock on wood.
Okay.
It's a new Mexican steakhouse in the former pub. What was it called last? The Pub?
The Pub, yeah.
It was Todd English Pub before that, located at Crystal's right near the Aria entrance. Right by the Pocket Park, which according to a report from one of our longtime listeners, mm-hmm. a lot of prostitutes hanging out in the Pocket Park recently. Don't know what to make of that, but so you can hang out with the prostitutes and then go into Toca Madera on August 9th. It looks like an upscale restaurant. Hollywood Reporter had an extensive article about it. They said that there's a speakeasy as part of this because, of course,
required by law now.
But their explanation, like that was in the headline or subhead, but then the explanation of it made it sound like it was more of just like a private dining room, which every steakhouse has.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was like, okay, well, it can be used for private events or after hours. Fuck if I know if it's actually a speakeasy thing. By the way, have we thought about maybe doing a speakeasy? Okay.
A speakeasy within a speakeasy?
No. A speakeasy. Well, no. Okay. A speakeasy that's not a bar. I mean, Secret Pizza is the closest.
A nacho speakeasy.
There you go.
I mean, the place in Cosmo has nachos.
They do, but it's still a bar.
Like a tequila bar. Yeah.
Donkey Punch or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of other concepts.
Yeah.
Or how about if you use one of the speakeasy spaces for a different concept earlier in the day? Mm-hmm. Speakeasy coffee shop and donut hut.
Ooh,
in the morning.
I like donuts.
And then bar at night. If you're going to...
I like the all food things. So do like a donut speakeasy in the morning and then do nachos later.
Midday nachos?
Yeah. Then have like maybe pizza at night.
Okay. there we go. We're offering this suggestion free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to stick with the speakeasy thing, it's been driven into the ground. New twist on it. Hidden donuts, nachos, and pizza.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for you. We're coming up with creative ideas free of charge for the Las Vegas market. Tocamadera.com is the place to go if you want details on this place. It opens at 4 p.m. daily. I'm curious to get reviews on this if anybody happens to go as well. Finally.
Can I make an apology for an omission last week?
Yes. What did you omit last week?
I believe we discussed ZZ Top, and I failed to make a Velcro Fly reference.
Oh, I didn't even notice. If I had, I'm sure I would have been disappointed. And why specifically did you want to get a Velcro Fly reference in?
Because it's terrible.
Especially in a show where we discussed Walk Like an Egyptian, which is an equally shitty novelty song that charted. And we didn't get the Velcro Fly references. ZZ Top is a weird band in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like legit, you know, musicians.
Right.
Great guitarists.
They rock.
They rock. And then they have these just a handful of these just crappy novelty songs like Velcro Fly, Cheap Sunglasses, Sleeping Bag. They had a run of really, like, let's just choose an object and write a song about it. Velcro Fly was especially special.
Because there were dance moves.
It was trying to be Walk Like an Egyptian. It was mm-hmm. the same kind of thing. Like, oh, let's try to make a thing
happen. I think
there
were even like hieroglyphics involved.
With the dance. Yeah. The video is really something special.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for your confession and apology. Mm-hmm. And you are forgiven on behalf of all of your listeners and on behalf of myself for not getting a Velcro Fly reference in. All right. One more news item. A final note on the long, well, maybe final. We can only hope it's a final note on the long-running Adele Caesar's Palace saga. It has been officially announced that the show is going to be happening. It is not moving to Planet Hollywood, which is rumored for a while. It will be happening at Caesar's Coliseum. All of the previous shows, which they did not refund tickets on, will be transitioned to the new dates beginning October 18th, running through February 25th.
November 18th?
No, what did I say?
You said October 18th.
November 18th. Jeez, what is wrong with my brain? November 18th through February 25th on Fridays and Saturdays. They will also be adding a handful of new dates between March 3rd and March 25th. The whole ticketing process is more complex than even a normal, like it was the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go through every detail. Visit Caesars and Ticketmaster's websites for all the details if you have tickets.
If this applies to you.
Or if you are interested in tickets. They're doing a whole thing where people who have tickets, obviously, might not be able to go to Las Vegas or go to the show that their tickets are transferred to. So they're offering refunds, but you have to request one by tomorrow, August 1st. And then if you want to go to a different show, refundees have the first ability to get presale tickets. All the presale tickets will probably sell out like they did last time, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. Maybe not, because people are kind of like, meh. But, so yes, refundees will have the first crack at tickets through the verified presale on August 10th. Then there will be another verified presale for everybody on August 11th. You have to register in advance for that. Like I said, go to the Caesars website and go to the Ticketmaster blog entry. That is a long-ass explanation of all the dates and all the processes. If you're interested in tickets for this,
good luck.
Good luck. Get your credit card ready, because they're expensive. It's the way of the world. What are you going to do? All right. I hope she ends up at least carrying out the show and not having date cancellations or anything, because mm-hmm. her fans have been through enough. All right. Moving along, we've got some phone calls. Would you like to hear from our beloved listeners?
Sure.
I know I would.
Hi, Michelle. Hi. I'm going to mispronounce this, but I think it's Time to Send. Yeah, I'm going to go Time to Send. This is Chris and Kevin from Fire Lake. We are sitting at the View Bar at the D, and we are loving life right now. It's our last day in Vegas after a week-long trip. The only downside is that they keep playing the fucking Beach Boys, which suck. But other than that, we are having the time of our lives, and we wish we could stay there. Okay, bye.
Thank you for checking in. Thank you for appropriately butchering my name, because I've done it to you so many times, mm-hmm. and I appreciate that you went through the effort of intentionally doing that to me. Well deserved. I was tickled when I got that message. And also, I would like to get your thoughts on your favorite Beach Boys song, Kokomo.
Oh my God. So we were just discussing this yesterday about how much that song sucks. It's like, oh, let's just take some places and rhyme with them.
You're not impressed by their lyrical prowess in that song?
Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you. No, I am not. It sucks.
All right. But John Stamos played percussion on that song.
So?
Doesn't that add a nice little...
No. That song is terrible.
It is terrible. I will give you that.
It might be one of the worst songs ever written.
Oh, there's a bold statement. Yeah. It's one
right
of
up there with Abracadabra, I Want to Reach Out and Grab Ya.
Another... Yeah, that's a piece of shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Miller Band had a lot of bad lyrics.
Oh, there was one where he tried to rhyme Texas with faxes. Take the money and run.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. We could go on, but we won't.
I had the Kokomo. I had the cocktail soundtrack on cassette that had Kokomo mm-hmm. on it. What else was on that? Oh, Don't Worry, Be Happy. That why did I own that cassette?
I don't know.
I think I kind of know. But the it was because the events surrounding seeing the movie Cocktail was a very fun time. And I guess I wanted to recapture that through the power of music. I'm not sure. But yes, I did own that when I was a high school youth. All right, let's leave the Beach Boys behind. I wish we could, and move on to our next caller.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. This is Dan from Grand Rapids, Michigan, calling in with a trip report. Let's get to it. First thing, Mad Apple, the new Cirque du Soleil show at New York, New York. We went to that. Tickets were a little over $100, and the show is in the old Zumanity Theater, so the show is kind of in the round. Not really a bad seat in the place. If you go, I recommend getting there earlier, because one thing that's kind of cool is they have like three bars set up on stage before the show. So you can actually go up on the stage, order a drink, take pictures from the performer's perspective, and that was kind of cool. The show itself, it's a combination of Cirque-y shit mixed with some comedians interlaced. They had three different comedians, which were decent. I think the show is a pretty good fit for New York, New York. But they do a good job of intertwining the New York theme throughout the show. And the comedians, you know, they could interchange those throughout. So it's a decent show, not a great show, but I think in the long run it's going to work for them. Couple other observations while we were there in Vegas. Mandalay Bay, we were there walking around. There's two main walkways there. You figure the one by House of Blues, and we were in the walkway further back that runs parallel. I'm walking, and I go, oh, gosh darn it, just stepped in some gum. I go, tell my girlfriend, we got to pull over, got to get the gum off my shoe. Pulled over to the side, looked at the bottom of my shoe, and it was not gum, my friend.
Oh, no.
It was shit. Like a huge smear of shit on the bottom of my shoe. Don't know if this was human or dog. But I'm thinking it's dog. And my question is, why are people bringing their dogs to Vegas? I couldn't believe it. This was like in a major walkway. And, yeah, quite disgusting. I can honestly say I've never stepped in a pile of shit walking through a casino in my life. So, hey, there was a first. Last thing, running out of time here. Question of the week was, we are walking down the sidewalk, come to a stoplight, waiting across the road there. Dude has a case of White Claw or Truly something on his shoulder, talking to his friend. Of course, we got to eavesdrop. He says, hey, do you think I should get fucked up now, or do you think I should take a nap first and then get fucked up? Me and my girlfriend discussed this at will, and we both came across the conclusion, take a nap first, then get fucked up. Anyway, love the show. Love you guys. Have a great day. Take care. Going back to Vegas for the big Motley Crue Def Leppard Stadium tour at Allegiant Stadium. Going to be awesome. I will call back with a review. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that. Love your report. Sorry you stepped in shit. That's unfortunate.
Hope it was dog shit.
I'm going to think it was probably dog shit, because you do see a lot more dogs the last several years in casinos. I'm not down with that either.
No.
Unless you have a true need for a service animal. Eh. You don't need to bring your dog with you on vacation. Come on. And this isn't just because I want to leave my dog behind on vacation. I'm just in general. You can leave your pet, You know, you can board your pet or find somebody to watch your pet. You don't need to, and you can board your children as well. Matt Apple's been getting pretty good reviews. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by this and I'm interested
like
in the show.
Concept of the bars on the stage thing where you can take a picture.
That's a cool thing.
That's a good idea.
That's a cool thing. And at least one or two of the reports on the place that shall not be mentioned online. I'm in a bad place with the group again.
No.
have said that balcony seating, like upper level seating, mm-hmm. is really a good way to go for the show, as it often is for Cirque shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have a full view from up above. So unlike a lot of shows, like just headliner shows where you want to be as close to the stage as possible,
mm-hmm.
you might want to try to get something back a little bit farther for this or for any of the Cirque shows. So there you go. Also, okay, the Vegas dilemma that you posed, which I love that. I love that you heard that. I love overhearing stuff like that. It's just fantastic. I would agree with you. You want to nap first and then go hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You can run into problems, first of all, if you get fucked up first and then nap, you might not wake up for a while.
True.
You might
and then your whole sleep schedule is going to be off.
Your sleep schedule might be off. You might feel like shit when you wake up. So preemptive nap, extend your afternoon or evening, and then go hard.
Yep.
That's what you got to do. Thank you for that fantastic call. Much appreciated. All right. Next caller.
Hey, it's David from Philly. I haven't been to Vegas in a while, but I've kept listening and living vicariously through you. You've been talking about some of the closings that have been happening. And about 15 years ago, the Frontier closed. And I happened to be in Vegas at the same time. And that closing week was just insane. A bunch of older people, which is to say 15 years later, people my age, were taking advantage of the good pay tables. They didn't jack anything up. Good video poker, the divey, cheap beer, just frickin' loving it. So whatever casino you go to when it's closing, you're going to find people who are celebrating and having a great time. And it is something special. So whatever it is, I think you shouldn't miss it.
All right. Thanks for that. We haven't really had one of those in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's been a true full-on shutdown.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the shutdown, the pandemic shutdown, but that was a very different...
there was no celebration there.
Very different conditions. But I remember that. Again, that kind of goes back to that era of massive construction and turnover and demolition and all that. And yeah, those reports that we had back then of people who were there for the final hours of casinos, those were always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'd hear countdowns and then you'd hear security booting people out. So there you go. All right. Thank you for sharing that memory. I appreciate that. Next up.
Hi, Tim, Michelle. This is Charlie from Iowa. I just wanted to do a trip report to the Bellagio. Just a quick note, we got a taxi from the airport because it didn't turn out to be cheaper, and it was just as fast getting the taxi as it would be an Uber from what we could tell in the crowds.
I will just say real quick, and we've discussed this, but not in a while, that it's good to keep your options open for transportation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Things have certainly gotten much better with ride-sharing availability, but pricing fluctuations are certainly still happening. So, you know, if you prefer ride-sharing but you see that the rates are high, cabs are still an option. So, good move. Continue.
On the way there, the driver, had a standard fare for the Bellagio, so he recommended a pit stop at a liquor store for us to get some items to take back to the room, and I could see why. They had like a fridge full of like waters and stuff for taxi drivers that are stopping by. So it was nice though. The Bellagio room, pleasant room. We had a bathtub for people who might want to know about that. We had a nice Paris view from the window. A couple food things. Throughout the weekend, we ate at Diablo's at Luxor. That was excellent, but probably more cheese than I've eaten in one sitting in a long time. And then we had Virgil's barbecue near the Link another night. That was really good. We got a margarita gallon that was much bigger than I thought it would be. So we had to shuttle some of the to-go cups back to the hotel room. It's kind of odd to see the fridge completely stocked full, to where we removed some of the items and some of them had weight sensors, to where I had to go to the front desk and clear some of the charges from removing some of those items. So a little bit annoying, but we got everything cleared up. It ended up saving me about $100. So
yeah, that's pretty normal. A lot of the now, a lot of times rooms will have both a mini bar
and a fridge
and a regular fridge that you can use for your stuff.
So you can avoid that.
Yeah, it's disappointing when they don't because yeah, if you move it, generally in the mini bars now that happens. So
yep, if you move anything, they'll assume that you took it.
Yep. Luckily, they're so used to people calling and saying I didn't get anything that they...
That's pretty easy to reverse.
Yeah, so glad that that worked out for you.
I did want to give the main report about the Stratosphere, where I got to cross off a bucket list item going to top of the world. I expected, you know, high-class presentation from this kind of restaurant, and it certainly was. We did have a little trouble finding something that sounded good on the menu. It was just my girlfriend and I, and they had a $55 food minimum purchase. And the drinks are not included. That seems a little bit strange to me because I don't see why they care whether it's food or drinks on how they get to that $55, but I get it. Everything was superb. I certainly recommend it for people looking to go there. I did want to mention Rouge, one of the newer shows. I know a couple people were kind of asking about it. So it was the first show my girlfriend had seen at all in Vegas, and she wanted to go to a burlesque type show. So we did some research and picked out this new one. I expected it to be more on the sleazy strip club type of vibe, but the bartender even kind of made it sound like it would be that. But it had some fancier burlesque and kicking type elements that most shows like this do. I would almost compare it to Dumanity, the Cirque show from several years ago that ended up getting canceled. But there's a lot of humor. Like I said, it's comparable to the Humanity, a search show from several years back that I remember seeing. There's a lot of humor throughout the show from the MCs. The aerobatics are pretty impressive in a couple acts. There's, I guess Tim might be interested there to avoid this, but there is a little bit of our audience participation where the MC kind of goes around and like asks for, some question answer type of conversation, but, nothing as far as anybody getting pulled up on stage or anything like that. So, I would recommend the show for the people that are kind of in this kind of thing, but it's nothing spectacular. So if you've seen Zumanity in the past, this is going to be pretty similar. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for that review. Appreciate hearing about new shows. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard a lot about that one. So, yeah, good to know. I don't mind the audience involvement when I don't have to leave my seat.
Ah.
It's more of that whole...
pull you up on stage and
petrified of that.
Oh,
yeah. All right. Top of the world is an interesting thing because I know that is weird, first of all, because you know they make more money on booze than they do on food.
Oh, yeah. The markup on that is insane.
So to not apply the minimum to both is weird. Yeah. But I know that, and it's been a while since I've looked, they have several different, I believe, fees in advance for reservations depending on whether or not you want to sit on the window, you know, sit depending on where you want to sit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you're planning on going there, make sure and scope out the pricing structures ahead of time so you know what you're getting into. All right, thanks for that report. Let's check in with Chris again.
Hi team. Hi Michelle. This is Chris and Kevin from Prior Lake, giving you an intoxicated trip report of our last week in Las Vegas.
Hooray.
Yes. Anyways, so we started out the trip staying at the Park MGM with my husband's mother, which that was great. We showed her Vegas for the first time since she was 10, and she's now more than 10 years old. We brought her to Love, still fantastic. We brought her to Andiamo, still amazing. Park MGM, perfectly serviceable. Very green. Everything is green.
So green.
Why is it so green?
It's very green.
Put her back on the plane. Now we moved over to the Golden Nugget. Still fantastic. Staying at the Rush Tower. Kevin has drank way too much at the D.
How dare you?
Followed by alcohol. Then at the Plaza, where we're playing craps at the Plaza.
We don't play craps.
and now we feel like true degenerates. We were playing craps. And now we have to be up in 13 hours to fly back to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Ugh. Bye.
Love that call. I love, yes. Love the commentary in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Delights me. Thanks for your reports. I appreciate it very much.
Me too.
All right. Moving on.
Hi, podcasting Tim and Michelle. It's Cannon.
Patty.
Calling you from the Fireside Lounge at the Peppermill. Oh, but wait. It's in Reno. Who knew? And this song is playing that reminds us of Vegas. 26 years since we were in Reno, because we always go to Vegas. It might be another 26 years before we come back, but oh my God, the cocktails are great at the Fireside Lounge. Thinking of you guys, sending some love. Toodaloo.
All right. It's a not Vegas call, but you're thinking of Vegas.
The spirit is Vegas.
There's a touch of Vegas about it. So we appreciate that. Thank you for the call. Thanks for checking in. Hope you had a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. This is Jennifer from Salt Lake City. I'm catching up on the podcast, and I realized I never called in with the rest of my trip that I took in November with my mom. And I don't remember where I left off, but the highlights of those trips where we went to the Haunted Museum, the one that Zach Baggins owns and operates. Even if you don't believe in ghosts, it's really cool. It's even just for the history. There's a lot of Las Vegas history. There's, like major U.S. history, like, Dr. Kevorkian's van and what he did to, what I believe was try to help people. And then really just kind of interesting oddities, like, the shrunken head from Scotland of a man that was accused of witchcraft. Really interesting things. And then we went to the Barry Manilow concert. Barry is a great performer. This was my third time seeing him. He puts on an amazing show. He just seems like such a nice guy. And his music is great. It's the type of music that just makes you happy. Other than that, we relaxed a lot. There's a couple times that we chilled in the room and ordered a movie, which I've never done before. But it was just a nice relaxing time, that nice bonding time with my mom. And it was just super, super fun. I didn't think I would be able to get a Vegas trip in this year because I went to Disney World in May. That was my solo vacation this year. But when I heard the Aerosmith residency was ready to end, or it looks like it might end quicker than I thought, me and my best friend, we are taking a road trip in September to see them perform. And it's a road trip with my bestie, and that'll be really fun. And I will call and let you know what happens with that trip. But anyway, I appreciate what you do. And I will talk to you later and have a great day, great week. And I love my Vegas family. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks for your report.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Glad you had a good time. Thanks mm-hmm. for the review of the Zach Baggins Haunted Museum. Appreciate that. And, Barry Manilow puts on a good show. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since we've seen him, but
yes. One thing she mentioned about just hanging out in the room, I feel like I've done that more I think maybe it's because of the pandemic and like being overwhelmed by people more easily.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I've really appreciated having a spacious room.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like to have something beyond the just a place to sleep and shower mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like, yeah, I like to be leisurely on my vacations sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And like even in the morning, if I get up earlier than you.
Yeah.
I like having...
an adjoining room to go hang out.
Yeah, it's nice to just kind of ease in. Sometimes look out upon whatever view mm-hmm. of the city you have, and then I'm ready to go for the day.
Yep.
Caffeinate a little bit, maybe. Well, mm-hmm. but anyway, yeah.
Put on pants.
Put on some form of covering. All right. Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Final call.
Hey, Boo. Hi, Sexy. Y'all can figure out who's who.
watched Guillermo from the OC, watching the Bellagio fountain go off. Want to let you guys know, Usher, very good. Amazing. Go through the show. Don't be Peter. Doesn't disappoint. Keep doing that. Babette, home run again. So you do that. And, of course, the District Donuts, amazing. Teddy B's, amazing. So for those of you that know, do it all over again. All right. Take care.
All right. Good to hear from you, Guillermo. Thanks for the report. Would you like to? Would you prefer to be Boo or
either one?
Okay, well, we'll
figure it out later.
We'll hash it out. Glad that Usher put on a good show. We've heard nothing but good things about Bavette's at Park MGM, so that's another one that's on the eventual dining list. So many steakhouses to choose from now.
I know.
It's very challenging. Limited meals, too many good places. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for all the calls. We appreciate it. If you would like to call the show, we'd love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. Before we get out of here, we've got a whole bunch of Karma donations this week. Thank you so much to all of our listeners supporting the show, including Michael with a Karma donation. He's a frequent Karma donator and never leaves a note. It's very mysterious, but we're grateful and we appreciate it. Charles, Karma donation for an upcoming trip to I'm going to try because he wants me to butcher this, I think. L'Auberge du Lac Casino in Lake Charles, Louisiana in mid-August. And he said he was excited to hear me butcher that. That, of course, is French for the burger of the lake. Thank you very much, Charles. Appreciate it. Julia, heading to Vegas for August 1st through the 4th, from August 1st through the 4th. First time donating since discovering the show a couple weeks ago. Well,
thank you.
Appreciate it, Julia. I love a Julia. Julies are good. Julias are a step, just a...
Now you've offended all the Julies.
I don't mean to offend any Julies, but I like Julias. Feeling more optimistic since visiting last year, so here's hoping something great happens. Love your show and the vibes. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you. Hope you have a wonderful time, Julia. I feel like you're going to have some good luck.
Good.
Just my hunch.
I hope so.
Carmen,
I like both Julies and Julias.
I like them both, too. I'm just saying, if I had to rank... It's probably unfair to rank people based solely on their names. Mm-hmm. But if I were to do that, which I clearly obviously already have, Julia slightly above Julie.
Hmm.
I don't know why. It's just based on my experience.
Huh.
Do you ever do that where you look at a name and you go, I bet I'd like that person? Or never met a person with that name who's fun to hang around with? We all do it. Well, I do it. I don't know. All right. JB from Milwaukee. Karma donation for first solo trip ever, first weekend in August. He said he has the coolest wife ever for letting him go. That's awesome. They survived 6 nights at Disney last week, making sure the kids had fun. This one is for him. All right. Way to reward yourself.
Have a good time.
Have a great time and win all the money and have all the fun. Trisha visiting right now, starting today, with her husband, looking for some good luck this time around.
I hope you find it.
Hope you have all the luck and all the fun. Mike said, thanks, Tim and Michelle, for a fantastic podcast. My wife and I are headed to Vegas tomorrow to celebrate our 25th anniversary, hoping for some fun and a COVID-free trip.
Happy anniversary. Hope you avoid the COVID.
Yeah, have a great time. Happy anniversary. That is awesome. What a great way to celebrate. Thomas and Colleen, a Karma donation for an upcoming trip. A lot of people going the first week in August.
Yeah.
All of our listeners are going to be there. Run into each other and say hello.
And celebrate.
Yes. We love the show. Look forward to every episode. Thank you for everything you do. Well, you're welcome.
Thank you
for the kind words. People are so nice to us. Mm. Aren't they awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel all nice and good. All right. Travis, day five of a 6-day trip, Park MGM and Cosmo, for my wife's 50th birthday. I only hit quads once. Let's get some karma going and turn it around.
I hope so.
I don't know if that worked out, but I know that he did fulfill his longtime dream of seeing the Link parking garage intentional flooding where the wash is. He filmed that and was very excited about it. Shared that video on the place, which shall not be named this week. And hope you had a good trip regardless of whether or not you won.
Mm-hmm.
Not finally. We've got one more. Guillermo, who we just heard from, said, for being so sexy, you guys rock.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Guillermo. Appreciate that sentiment. And finally, Brian with a Karma donation for Vegas trip the first week in August, celebrating his daughter's 21st birthday. Happy birthday to her. You have a great time.
Yep.
Rock and roll. All right. Thanks to everybody. Thanks everybody for supporting the show. You guys are amazing. Appreciate it. Your generosity very, very much. 500bymidnight.com is the website. If you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, you can send them to 500@gmail.com, and one of these days we'll get to them on the show. And of course, again, that voicemail line is 702-866-9494. As always, thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We will be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.